Good morning. Okay, that's great. All right, we're in Colossians, Book of Colossians. And we're looking at Paul's concluding statements here as he's focusing on churches. And he's also focusing on the men that the Lord's raised up here. And so we see a listing of some of these men. So we've talked about some of these men. Want to mention them once again. So we see reference to Tychicus. That's in Colossians 4:7. And then Onesimus. So Tychicus and Onesimus, remember, they're the ones who brought the book of Colossians to the church there. Aristarchus, reference to him there, and Marcus. Then Jesus Justus, we see him in verse 11. Epaphras is mentioned there as well. He's the pastor of the church. And then we have... after him, Luke and Demas, Nymphas, there in verse 15. All right, so Archippus. So we have a series of individuals that are mentioned here in the scripture. So in this, Paul was focusing on these men and their roles in all of this. Now, one of the interesting things that we find here is with these men, that if you look there in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and verse 5, so Paul says this to the Corinthian church. 1 Corinthians 9. He says to the Corinthian church that, have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? So he's referring to the power or the privilege or the right, you might say, for him to, him or others to have a sister or a wife with them as they would go out. So the 12 apostles, when they went out, this included Judas, obviously, but 12 apostles were married men, and they went out, and they served the Lord with their wives and families and so on. later in the chapter there, he says to the Corinthian church, in verse 14, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live by the gospel. In other words, he's saying, Corinthian church, you need to finance us. And so Paul said, I have the expectation to be financed by you, but I'm not going to take it. I'm not going to take the that. But others do have the right to minister with their wives. And so here we see an important role there, that whereas the women behind the apostles in the New Testament, they're not mentioned quite often, although we have this indication here. So this says a sister or a wife, so this would be family members as well as other apostles and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas. So in other words, Peter, remember, Peter took his wife with him as he ministered. Although this doesn't come up in the other passages where we see reference to him. But Peter took his wife with him. And so, if you look back there in Matthew's Gospel, for instance, we see what the Lord was doing with regard to Peter. So, can you imagine... you women, being married to the Apostle Peter. Imagine this. So if you look back there in Matthew chapter 8, here we see the Lord is ministering to other people, and Peter has receive the call, the follow the Lord, and so he does. And so we're looking here in Matthew chapter 8, verse 14. And when Jesus was come to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of fever. So Peter's mother-in-law was sick. So Peter goes to, Lord goes to Peter's house. His mother-in-law is sick, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. And so you imagine what that did for Peter's wife. So, you know, she, so if we think of a little scenario here, he goes home after he says he's going to follow the Lord, and he tells his wife, you know, I'm giving up fishing. This is my occupation. I'm going to follow the Lord, the Messiah here, and serve him. So what would her thinking be? Wait a minute, you're giving up your occupation, our income, our money, the house we have, and so on. You're giving all that up to follow this itinerant preacher. You doing that? So how are we going to live? All right, now, I would think here, Peter, as well as his wife, had a sense that the Messiah is going to come in their lifetime, and they were ready for this. So they had, and I would say Peter obviously was saved before he followed the call of the Lord to serve, and presumably his wife was as well. But now the Lord does something very personal for his wife, and that is to heal her mother. So I think that endeared her to not only Peter, being the wife of Peter, but also to the Lord and willing to follow him. So you think of that. So we have these hints in Scripture here that the apostles were married men with children, and that they took their families with them. If you look there in Acts chapter 1, for instance, we have a reference to Judas, but Judas's office here. So in Acts chapter 1, we see in verse 20, Acts chapter 1, verse 20, Scripture says here, as Peter is saying this, is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. And so here he's citing both Psalm 69:25 and also Psalm 109:8. But it says, and let his bishopric. So this is the word that's behind, the Greek word behind the word for bishop here, and the overseer. And it's the same word as found there in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And so the apostles, in the office of apostleship, they were also pastors. So all apostles were pastors. Now, not all pastors are apostles. But if the apostles were pastors, then they needed to meet the requirement for the office of bishop, which means that they need to be married and have children. And so we would understand that all of them were married men, had children, and as they were sent out by the Lord, they took their families with them. And so this would have been challenging, certainly for the wives. And yet these were spiritual women who wanted to follow their husbands and wanted to do what was right. And so we have hints at this. We don't see too much about this, but there's sufficient evidence in this that behind these apostles, they had godly women who were supportive of them, even in the great dangers that their husbands went through. You think of that. Excuse me. So, which would mean, as well, that the Apostle Paul was a married man with a family. I mean that. Now, a secondary argument along those lines would be that since he's a member of the Sanhedrin, extra-biblical literature would indicate that members of Sanhedrin need to be 30 years old and married men. So That's a secondary argument. But the primary argument here is that Paul was an apostle. He's in the office of apostle. The Lord chose him there. So he's a married man with a wife and children. And so the Bible is silent in many passages, but it gives us that indication here. So we don't want to reject the one verse. Sometimes people say, do you have any more verses? How many verses do you need to establish truth? You got one verse in the Bible that establishes truth. So these were married men. Now, in some accounts, their wives may not have gone with them. So when Aristarchus and Luke went with Paul on his three-ship journey to Rome, the wives probably weren't there with him. But in other accounts, no doubt they were. So these were married men with children and so on. And so the Lord blessed with these men having good godly wives who were willing to allow their husbands to take them on dangerous trips as well as them going themselves on dangerous trips. And so we see the support of these men and how valuable that was to them. So we come back here to our passage here. We find that Colossians chapter 4, verse 7 and following, we have Tychicus. And so he takes this arduous journey that I mentioned to you last time, along with Onesimus, who was a born-again slave. And they come and they bring the book of Colossians from Rome to Colossae. So remember the map I put up here. So you're working on your map here. So here is Italy, right? There's the foot, the boot, and the island here. Then we have over here Greece, actually. Go in here kind of like this. So here would be Corinth and Cenchrea here. And then over here would be Ephesus, and then there'd be Colossae. All right, so here is our Corinth. And then here's Rome up here. So in order for these two men to make this trip, as I mentioned, as the crow fly, this would be about an 800-mile trip. But when they had to go down here and cross over here, or cross over here and go down here, and then come over here, it'd probably be about a 1,500-mile trip that these two men would have to take this parchment, either animal skin or papyri or something like this, something very fragile, and take this and bring it to the Colossian church. So here's the way they probably would have gone, like this. And yet they were faithful men, they were willing to do that. Now, with regard to a woman, let's look over here in Romans chapter 16. So in Romans chapter 16, Paul is writing from Corinth at this point. So he's not in Rome. He's in Corinth, writing to churches in Corinth, in Rome rather, from Corinth. And so, so remember, we have four prison epistles here when he's in Rome and he's writing to these churches around Ephesus and Colossae and Philemon's house church and Philippians. These churches, he's writing those books from Rome down here. But now he's in Corinth. Now Paul's in Corinth, and he's writing to the churches in Rome. So this is the book of Romans. So now he's writing to the church here at Rome. And he needs to get the letter of the Romans, book of Romans, the church there in Rome, and there were six churches in Rome. So he's writing from Corinth, going to get the book of Romans to 6 churches in Rome. So we see that in chapter 16 of Rome. And so we pick it up in verse 3. It says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus." So now Priscilla and Aquila are back in Rome. But how's he going to get the letter of Romans from Corinth to Rome? How's he going to get that letter? Now remember, Romans is a great doctrinal letter. I mean, it's got all kinds of doctrine in it. Great letter of tremendous salvation and other great truths and so on. Well, we find out here in verse 1, Romans 16, 1. "I commend unto you Phoebe." So who's Phoebe? Phoebe's the woman. Amen. Phoebe's the woman. He says, "Our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, and that ye receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she has been a succour of many and of myself also." So Phoebe apparently was going to do business from Cenchrea and had to go to Rome to do some business. And so how's Paul going to get this letter to Rome? He's going to send it with a woman. He's going to send it with a woman. So a woman making a journey all this distance by herself with the book of Romans. I mean, think how significant the book of Romans is. And she's going to take this letter to these 6 churches there. So we see what the Lord was doing here. What do we know about her? Know very little about her, but Paul said about her that she's a servant of the church which is in Cenchrea. So Cenchrea was a church that Paul started. He probably won her to the Lord. It's a very short distance away from the Corinthian church. So she's going to take this and take this letter. And we see that she has a testimony. She's a member of the church of Cenchrea. She's been a succour or a helper. That's what that word means. Of many in the church. Paul knew this. She's also a helper of Paul. And no doubt he says of myself also. And by the way, I'm going to send my helper, Phoebe, with this significant letter of Romans. So we see what the Lord is doing. He's working in hearts and lives of faithful church people, church members here, men and women. You think of that, men and women. So if you look there in 16:22, we find out he mentions somebody else here. In Romans 16:22, he says, the scripture says here, "I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord." So Paul didn't even write the book of Romans. He had a secretary, a man, that he dictated the very words of scripture to Tertius. Tertius wrote them down on a parchment. So who's the author of Romans? The author of Romans is Paul. Who is the one who wrote it down on a parchment? Tertius did. But who's the author? Paul. All that. So he uses Tertius. And he says, "Gaius, mine host." So he's staying with Gaius in Corinth. He says, "The whole church saluteth you." All right. So we see how the Lord was using different people. Paul didn't even write on a parchment the book of Romans. He dictated it word for word to Tertius, and Tertius took the words and he wrote down Paul's words. So he didn't try to manipulate them or correct them or, "Oh, Paul, you misspelled this word." No, this is the inspiration process. You see that? Amen. So he uses Tertius. Who's Tertius? He's the third of something. That's what the word means. Probably third son or something like that. But anyway, we don't know anything about him, but he wrote the book of Romans on the parchment. But Paul is the author. He uses Tertius to write it. He sends it via Phoebe, and the book of Romans gets these 6 churches in Rome. So think how he's using individuals here. And so the Lord wants to use individuals in local churches in their, as they're faithful. So that's what the Lord expects, faithful church members. And we don't know when the Lord is going to tap us on the shoulder and say, I want you to do this. Wait a minute, me? I'm not even the pastor. That doesn't mean everybody in the church becomes the pastor, but the pastor's not the only one that does anything. I can do anything. Everybody's working together. You follow that? And so this is how the Lord's work is carried out here. So getting back to these men that are going out here and so on, they went forward. So back here in Colossians chapter 4. And so when assignments came to them, they had to carry these assignments out. This passage, Colossians 4, is much like 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And so when Paul wants Timothy to come back to prison, so Timothy was with Paul in prison, and he was released. So let's look at that. That's in Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 13. Paul writes this, Hebrews 13, I think before he wrote 2 Timothy. But he says there in Hebrews chapter 13, know ye, this is at 13:23, know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom if he come shortly, I will see you. So Timothy, and then he says, salute all them that have the rule over you and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. So Paul is in Italy. And what big city is in Italy? Rome. He's in Roman imprisonment. And so he had the hope, he had the expectation maybe be released, but he said Timothy's already been released. This is in Hebrews. But now he wants Timothy, you come back to jail. You come back and visit me again. Well, Timothy was a little reluctant about that in 2 Timothy. But Timothy nevertheless carried that out. So if, now if you're looking here in 2 Timothy, Paul, in chapter 4, Paul goes over some of these things. He says to Timothy in 4:13, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee. So this prison is damp. I need a cloak. And I'm waiting for my capital punishment. You bring this cloak and bring with thee and the books, but especially the parchments. So these parchments may have been New Testament scriptures he'd written to be distributed. And so Timothy is to come back there. So a dangerous scenario for Timothy to have to go back there. And so these men, when they went out to follow the Lord, obey the Lord, and the Lord says, I want you to go here or here or here, what did they do? How did they respond? They felt that this is God's will for me. I better go to these dangerous lands obeying the Lord than saying no and facing the consequences. Follow that? And so if they did, what would the consequences do if they failed the Lord here? So I want to say this personally, when I go to different places, my wife and I feel that this is the Lord's will, and we're not going to tell the Lord no. I get invitations. I don't search out invitations, but when I get invitations, what am I going to say? No, I can't do it. Don't want to do it. Sorry, too dangerous. That's probably the most challenging would be when I was asked to go to Vietnam. So, but my wife said go. I was willing to go. So anyway, I wanted to make that clear publicly to our church. So we're supportive in doing the Lord's will here. But we see what was going on with Paul's life here as well. So here he has these men. Many they were married men, and so in many cases their wives went with them and so on. Now we looked at Epaphras here, so we're in Colossians 4:4. And Epaphras, who is one of you, he says, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervent for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. So this is the language indicating Epaphras was their pastor, but Epaphras had to leave the church there to go to Rome to see Paul, and had a burden for Paul to help him out and so on. Verse 13 says, for I bear him record that he hath great zeal for you and them that are in Laodicea and them in Hierapolis. So Laodicea, one of the seven churches there, and found in the book of Revelation chapter 1. And these seven churches were all in a close proximity of one another, from Ephesus, and kind of like a horseshoe arrangement here, you might say, but in this part of the world. So they he's going to minister there and so on. Now, as we go on, we see reference to Luke. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. So here we see Luke and Demas are with Paul, and they're ministering to Paul there as well. So Luke, wrote, and the book of Acts really ends with Paul in his first Roman imprisonment, and after he's imprisoned, then Luke, presumably, probably about A.D. 61, writes the book of Acts, which ends up with Paul in his first Roman imprisonment in Acts chapter 28. So Luke was with Paul for a great deal of the time. Luke pastored the church in Philippi for a little bit, and so he was pastor and qualified to be a pastor and so on. And so, but then he follows Paul, and he writes the book of Acts when Paul is in the Roman imprisonment. And so Acts has been written about this time, likewise with these other four books, the prison epistles being written about the same time. And then Demas as well was with Luke and Paul there in prison. But later on, Demas got caught up with the world. And so here he's a faithful servant of the Lord. He'd been with Paul, if you looked at the time frame and so on, about 10 years serving the Lord, but he gets caught up with the world. So perspective on this, if you look there once again, chapter 4, so this is a warning for all, that we have in Demas, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, concerning Demas, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. So here's the pole of the world. He is probably getting bombarded here with the challenges, the difficulties, and everything else, and he just went right back to the world. This happens to even the most serious of Christians, and quite often even happens to pastors who will give up the pastor and just go back into something secular and compromise everything. It happens. And so nobody's guaranteed. Nobody's guaranteed anything here. We have to keep our hearts right with the Lord and want to serve Him. And when difficulties come, we might say, no, if I weren't serving the Lord, like Jeremiah said there in Jeremiah chapter 20, Lord's deceived me. I thought it was going to be a piece of cake, and things didn't work out at all. That he wanted to quit, give up, but he didn't. The Lord, word of God was in him, but Demas might. So we might have some faithful church members in this church that one day gets upset about something. I'm done. I'm out of here. I'm not coming back to church. I'm not going to go to any church. Maybe some people in this our congregation acts like that, that thinks like that. Got mad at the pastor. Got mad at other people. This happened. That happened. People don't like me. This, oh, whatever it could be. I was offended. I'm not coming back. I'm not going to serve the Lord. I'm giving up. So we don't want any Demases. Obviously, but there's the potential of that for any and every person, man or woman. Yes, sir?
I'm still on Demas. Was Demas the same guy who I think it was Paul's? This guy, Demas, turned against me and told lies about me and all. I
No, Demas wasn't named that way. No. Is there in 2 Timothy, might have been Hymenaeus and Philetus. It's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 17. 2 Timothy 2:17, where he talks about, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrew the faith of some. So, yeah, they were denying the resurrection to Paul and the church members. Yeah. Yeah, that's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 17. Yeah. Anyway. So here we have Luke and we have Demas involved here. And then we move on verse 4:15. Salute or greet the brethren which are at Laodicea. So Laodicea is about 10 miles away, a city close by, Laodicea. And Nymphas and the church which is in his house. So Nymphas had a house church which is in his house, there presumably at Laodicea. All right, then verse 16 says, and when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. So wait a minute, there's a letter coming from Laodicea. So the church at Laodicea, which is mentioned there in Revelation, but this church at Laodicea also had a letter written by Paul that they were to read. So what letter would this be? Well, I think the hint here is in verse 17. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. All right, so we see Laodicea, epistle from Laodicea, Archippus. If you look over there in Philemon, the book of Philemon, we see that Paul's writing to Philemon, and verse 1 says, Paul, prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia, which is a woman, that's presumably his wife, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. So Philemon had a church in his house. Archippus is there. Archippus is in that house. Paul writes the book of Philemon. Philemon is an inspired book. So presumably, the book of Philemon is going to be brought from Philemon's house church back here to Colossae. And so, where was Philemon? And so, the house church presumably is in Laodicea. And so, Archippus brings back the Philemon letter, as well as the Colossian letter goes to Philemon. Follow that? So they shared their scriptures. They shared their scriptures. And so the church is about 10 miles away. And so Archippus, we're told here in verse 17, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. So Archippus, a church member over there in Philemon's house church, presumably in Laodicea, he now needs to come back here to Colossae, 10 miles away, and take care of the ministry, which would be the Colossian church, until Epaphras comes back. Follow that? And so here we have the Lord is using these individuals and gives us insight. The epistle from Laodicea, I would say that's the Philemon letter. And then so Philemon's house church is to receive Colossians, and Philemon's letter of Philemon is to be given back to, or sent back to, the Colossians. So these churches know what's going on. Remember, they're in close arrangement here, affinity and so on. And so they're to share their letters. Otherwise, where is this epistle from Laodicea, which seems to be on the same rank as Scripture? Where is this letter? Is it a lost letter of Scripture? No, the Lord didn't lose any Scriptures here. Some commentators say that. We don't know. The letter has been lost. So an inspired letter has been lost. Now, the Lord doesn't lose inspired letters. You follow that? So we can connect the dots on all this. And so we have the Lord working here in the Colossian church here. So there are significant individuals here that are receiving message from Paul from Rome to Colossae. Tychicus and Onesimus delivers the letter. Remember Onesimus, by the way. He's mentioned there in Philemon. If you look there in Philemon 1:10, and I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I've gotten in a bond. So Onesimus was a servant, a slave, who left Philemon, and he was caught, put in prison, and of all things, he's put in prison with Paul. Paul wins him to the Lord and helps him grow in prison. So Paul had a prison ministry going on, and now Philemon and Tychicus are going to bring the letter back, letter to the Colossians back from Rome, and that now the Laodicean church is going to share their letter, which is Philemon, with the Colossian church. So you see all the workings, how the Lord orchestrated all this. And so we have Onesimus is involved here. And so we see what the Lord can do. With Onesimus, he was a slave, sinned against his master, escaped, got caught and thrown in prison, met up with the Apostle Paul as one to the Lord. Now the Lord's going to use him, and Lord and Paul is going to trust him and Tychicus to bring the Colossian letter back to Colossae from Rome. So here he goes from a terrible person, slave, runaway, and the Lord deals with him, saves him, and now he's a faithful servant of the Lord. On the other hand, we see Demas. He's a faithful servant of the Lord. He's involved in the Lord's work and everything else. And he turns away from the Lord. And so we have both scenarios showing up in this chapter. You follow that? So on the one hand, you may be young in the Lord and come out of a bad background, but you're committing your life to the Lord and right the Lord and so on. He might have you do some tremendous task like this. I mean, if it weren't for Tychicus and Onesimus, we wouldn't have Colossians. Right. And how far did they have to travel? Remember that? 1,500 miles by a walking ship. You know, how many months would that have taken? A fragile parchment. And then Demas, on the other hand, is in the battle there, faithful to the Lord and so on. And then he falls away. So you might be Onesimus. And it'd be better to be an Onesimus than a Demas. But see, it's not how you begin; it's how you end up in life. So we all begin as a sinner, and we get saved. We start serving the Lord. So where are you going to end up in your Christian life? You're going to end up as a faithful servant, doing tremendous things for the Lord, whatever they may be. Or are you going to end up as a Demas, falling away from the Lord? So how are you going to end up? How are you going to end up? So these were men that were associated with Apostle Paul. We would think, you know, if I ever rubbed shoulders with the Apostle Paul, how that would change my life. No, it wouldn't. It's the Lord changed our life. So we've all been around godly people before. And we've been around ungodly people before. So it's really who's going to influence us in the long run? How are we going to end up in the long run? So I'm not sure what my thinking was when I first got saved back in 1969, but I never thought I would be a pastor of a church. You know, never thought that. I'm thankful for that and so on. On the other hand, none of you are my age, so if you live to be my age, how are you going to end up? How are you going to end up? No. So it's not how you start off. Demas started off good, ended up bad. Onesimus started off bad, ended up good. So how are we going to end up? Where are we going to end up at, towards the tail end of our life? And so we can be thankful for that. So we see so many things going on here as Paul was in prison, but he wasn't limited at all. He got scriptures out. He had faithful men who would do this work for him. And what a blessing this was. So we have the book of Colossians, and we have the book of Philemon, and we have the book of Romans. And how did we get these books? By faithful servants of the Lord, of all types of background, men and women. You imagine that? And so you think of that next time you read the book of Romans. I've got the book of Romans 2,000 years later. And how do I have that? Well, it's through the instrumentality of Phoebe. Wow, think of that. Think of that. And so people can serve the Lord. Men and women serve the Lord. And so we're thankful for that. Our Father, we praise you. Bless us now. Thank you for the time we've had to be in the Word of God. Bless our efforts here, we pray, and help us to be faithful and recognize we're going to have an end at some point, so how are we going to end up in our end? We pray that you bless each of us now. We ask, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.